you thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
It's another special show. It's the Urban Sports Scene, episode 104. It's not an actual special episode, but you know what I mean. It's always a special show because I get to have my homie Will T with me.
What's going on, man?
We're missing Al and Ray, but they'll be back next week. Hopefully, we'll have a live show, Urban Sports Scene style. This is the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. Will, what's up? What happened to you last week?
Nothing, man. I just got real busy. You know, I had something I had to do Thursday and Friday, so I couldn't make it on Tuesday. So, you know, I'm back now.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back, man. We're glad to have
you. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm glad to be back, man.
It's not a show without you, man.
No, it's not a show without you. Like I said, you're the founder, super engineer, producer, originator. You're all in one. All of that talent in one man.
All this goody two-shoe talk, man. Just keep it real, man. I ain't all that, man. I ain't nothing, man. For real, I ain't nothing without you guys. But I just came back from Vegas not too long ago. We did it up, me and Al and my boy Chris.
Y'all blew the Urban Sports Scene advertising money that we had, you know, got off our ads.
Like GSA?
Yeah.
No, actually, you know, I what I've learned about Vegas, man, those cats down there, they don't sleep. They don't sleep at all. I mean, like, I got up, we went to party, and I was in the club, and, like, I knew I should have left the club, but I couldn't. And then when I went out, it was, like, light. And I was like, well, it's light. That means it has to be like the morning, like the real morning, not like 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, like 7, 8. When I was like, look at my watch. I mean, look at my cell. And it was like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I got it in, man.
Oh, no. I left at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, it was crazy.
Oh, man. I'm glad y'all had a good time. Y'all got home safely.
Yeah, we got home safely, man. Everything was good. Everything was blessed. Like I said earlier, we're on the Eyes Radio Network. That's just check them out. It's www.eyesradio.com. And what I mean them, check us all out at eyesradio.com. Chris and the Commish, which is another show based out of the DMV. They do it big as well. They cover all sports. Cool guys, cool cats. And also check out our homies up at Voice of the Fan. They're on Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.thevoiceofthefan.com, and you can also check out the Urban Sports Scene on another radio station, which is Real People Real Talk Radio. Show is managed by our folks at Apple G's. Site is www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Will, I'm gonna let you say this because we're about to get into it. So say it.
Start our tradition, the pregame.
Yes, Saturday the Caps will be playing the Rangers in Game 7. Big game. Caps pulled it out. Was it Wednesday?
Yeah,
they pulled out Wednesday, 2-1. Ovechkin came to play, had one key goal. They went up 2-0 in the game. I think the Rangers scored like their goal with 51 seconds in the game.
I was actually kind of disappointed because Holby is the only guy, the only goalie during the NHL playoffs who hasn't had a shutout. So I was kind of hoping that he went for the shutout, but 2-1 win, still impressive. The Verizon Center was jumping. It was packed. From the floor, from the ice all the way up to the ceiling, all red. People were very supportive. People were very a lot of people behind the Caps. They want to see them do big things and go to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
Even Eastern Conference finals.
Finals.
This is a different Caps team, man. Like the way they lost the last game, basically having the game and giving up two goals in the last. Gave up a goal in the last second for the tie in regulation, and then gave up a goal due to a power play in the overtime to lose the game. And to bounce back from that and still get a W shows that this team is for real and this team wants it bad. This is different from any other Caps team because in the face of adversity, they're stepping up.
I'll say the biggest difference and the only difference between this team and the prior Caps team is mental toughness. And I think it's all because of the change of coach. And Dale Hunter's brought in a new mindset for the Caps. Let's get it done now. I don't play. I don't care who you are. No favoritism towards anyone.
True.
We're going to play a different style. This style is more conducive to us winning in the playoffs and possibly getting to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, let's go to Game 7. What are the keys for the Caps to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Ovechkin has to get multiple shots on the goal. And also they have to do, if you notice, when the Caps were successful, they got a lot of guys towards the net. When they got shots, when they had shots on goals, they got guys to the nets for the rebounds. Also on the defensive end, they got a lot of guys towards the net, to possibly stop, to help Hopi out and, deflect some shots. So, and also Hopi, he has to step up again, another tough game seven on the road.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's Ovechkin has to come to play. Your stars have to play. It's game seven, and the Caps have, to me, on the ice, you want the most talented players on the ice. Or in any sport, you want the most talented players in a deciding game. And the Caps have that. They have Ovechkin. They have Semin. Those two are probably the most talented players on the ice. Those two have to come. They have to come to play. Hopi has to do what he's been doing throughout the whole playoffs. I think it's important for the Caps to get the first goal, put the pressure on the Rangers. I think they've done pretty well, honestly, getting the first goal in most of the games in this series. They get the first goal, put the pressure on the Rangers in a game seven, and I think the Caps have a good chance of pulling it out. I believe in the Caps, man. I think Dale Hunter, what you said, has done an excellent job. Keep playing that style of defense. Make sure they play in a good possession game in their own zone. Do not turn the puck over. Like, they need not to turn the puck over in their own zone. But at this point in time, do you think the Caps are overachieved how they've been playing at the moment?
Absolutely not. I think this team is doing what everyone projected them to do. Prior seasons, even in coming into this season, Ted Leonsis has always said the mission was a Stanley Cup. Just because this team is the seventh seed in the East, a lot of people are saying they've overachieved. No, it's just that this has been one of the first years that the pressure hasn't necessarily been on them to overachieve or achieve the status that or the goal that Ted Leonsis has put out for them.
And you're talking about pressure. See, and this is funny now. See how it's twisted now? The Caps, who have, like, in this situation, they usually had the pressure. Like, game seven, the Caps, they have to win this game. They're the team that they're the favorite to win it. But no, the Rangers have the pressure because the Rangers are the one seed.
Yep.
The Rangers have to pull it out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's funny how the roles have reversed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No. I guess we can piggyback on that. Since the Caps, you're saying they overachieved. So win or lose, do you think Semin and Green, who were rumored to leave Washington after this season, do you think now with the way they played in the playoffs, they've pretty much solidified their jobs or showed they had a stranglehold in their jobs?
Yeah, I think they have. I think no matter what happens in the offseason, whatever happens, they can hold their heads high knowing that during the playoffs, the primary reason why these guys were brought to Washington to win playoff games, these guys have played at a very high level. They've been competitive. They've given you all they had for the most part for every game that they've played in this year. During the playoff season, so no, I think those two guys did pretty good this playoff season.
No, I agree with you. I think Semin and Green have done a great job, especially Semin. I think Semin has showed a lot. Maybe not this series has been a little tougher, but he's showing you effort. But the series against the Bruins, I think Semin is probably the best capital on the ice. I think he made plays, and it might not show on total goals for the team in that series, but you can see in terms of his activity, he showed a lot in that series. I like what Green's doing. I think Green's playing more of a defensive game. We know Green is a scorer, but he's really playing good, solid defense for this team. So I agree with you. I think those two have done enough to stay Washington Capitals. Let's move on to the NFL and our own Washington Redskins. We already know my Washington Redskins.
All right, get it right.
My bad. Dang, dude, shoot. We in Philly. I know. You want to go to Philly?
Nah, I don't want to go to Philly.
You want to see Randall Cunningham?
Nah, I'm good.
You want to go to Eagles training camp?
I might.
All right, Philly cheesesteaks, overrated. RG3, we already heard that he's officially the starting quarterback on opening day for the Washington Redskins. Let's talk about the backups. Rex Grossman and Kirk Cousins are competing for the backup job. Who do you think has the edge, Will?
To be honest with you, I really don't see Rex Grossman being on this roster at the end of training camp.
Really?
I really don't.
I really disagree with you on that.
No, I really don't. And here's why. You go out. if you're going to bring in two quarterbacks, obviously you're not happy with the quarterback play from the previous season. You go out, you spend, you trade, you mortgage the future for RG3. That's understandable.
You mortgage the future. You still
you mortgage the future for RG3. You did.
No, you just not mortgage the
future. Okay, all right. We can agree to disagree on that one for the sake of keeping this show.
But don't say mortgage the future, though. They didn't mortgage the future.
They mortgaged the future for RG3.
They got their guy. They got their guy.
They got their guy. If that makes you feel more comfortable.
They got their guy.
Okay. We all know the truth. But anyway, in the fourth, you come back in that same draft in the fourth round and you take Cousins, Kirk Cousins. Why? Because if you were happy with Grossman as being your backup, you wouldn't go out and you wouldn't draft Cousins to be. And you could say this is the guy that they're going to develop. He'll be the number three quarterback, this, that, and the third. But I see if Kirk Cousins plays to a level that Mike Shanahan feels comfortable with, I actually see them letting Kirk Cousins be the number two, get those practice reps in the play in training camp and during practice, and then bringing in a guy, a veteran guy who they necessarily doesn't have that much left in the tank to be the number three.
You said an interesting thing. If Kirk Cousins does well in preseason or in camp, he won't do well in camp, because I've seen Kirk Cousins in Michigan State. I know what Kirk Cousins is about. Kirk Cousins has potential. You know who's better than Kirk Cousins?
Who?
Drew Stanton. You know who Drew Stanton is? The backup in Detroit?
Yeah.
10 times better than Kirk Cousins. 10 times better.
Okay.
He's a backup. He's a career backup.
Yeah.
Drew Stanton wasn't ready to start, period, or be ready to be a backup. It's rare to have two rookie quarterbacks, one and two. You know, it's rare. You're going to need a veteran in between. Now, I do agree that Kirk Cousins will be the backup quarterback the year after. It won't be this year, but the year after. Rex will be gone the year after. Rex will be the backup this year.
It depends Cousins on how he looks in preseason.
Yeah, I agree. No. If Cousins, that's one thing I do agree with you. If Cousins, like, tears it up in preseason, which I totally doubt, but if he does do it, then Rex Grossman has no job.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won't have a job. But if Cousins struggles, which I expect him to struggle, then he'll be a third string quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
He can learn.
It'll still be a quarterback controversy once Robert, I'm not calling him RG3, Robert Griffin III.
What quarterback controversy?
Hey, if Kirk Cousins comes out in the preseason and looks better, he won't. There'll be a controversy made by the fans.
No, it won't.
Yeah, it will.
These fans love RG3. No, that's not.
Just watch.
No,
just watch. It won't. You don't have your finger on the pulse of Washington.
I do, man.
Sports.
I'm telling you, man.
I do.
This ain't Donovan McNabb, man. Don't worry about it. He's good. This ain't Donovan. He's good.
Donovan was good too.
Nah, Donovan was because he's older. That's why this kid's young. Nah, believe me. They've been wanting this guy. This guy's good. RG3 owns the city right now.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. But let's go from a guy who owned the city, who's owning the city now, to a guy who's let down the city tremendously. And that guy I'm talking about is Lamont Peterson.
He let me down.
if you just don't pay attention to boxing or
sweet science,
the sweet science, as I like to call it, local boxing welterweight champion, junior welterweight champion. Lamont Peterson will not be fighting Amir Khan next weekend on the 19th in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay. Why? Because he was found to have an unusual level of testosterone.
Go ahead.
Lamont Peterson and Amir Khan, they both agreed to a higher level of testing for this fight, which was Lamont Peterson's suggestion. Evidently, in April, his urine sample came back dirty. Then they gave him a sample B not too long ago, and that came back dirty. And this week, the fight's been called off because Lamont Peterson's been taking testosterone pellets for what his doctors say is low testosterone and exhaustion.
Could it be right? I mean,
no.
It can't be?
No, because here's the thing. And I don't want to judge him because I don't know all the facts, but just from the facts that I have heard, Lamont Peterson went out to Las Vegas to a specialist who gave him these testosterone pellets. You can get Georgetown Hospital is not that far from here. George Washington Hospital is not that far from here. Johns Hopkins, three of the finest hospitals in the country, are right in your backyard. Why are you going to go to Vegas to go get these special pellets?
So why would he be dumb enough to, I mean, what I'm trying to figure out is, why would he be dumb enough if he got caught up twice? Basically, why would he be dumb enough to do it?
Well, essentially, also, he's come out and admitted that before their first fight, he also had these testosterone pellets.
So he did do it. So he did use it.
Yes, he's used it.
Oh, so that's, that comes to my second question. So you think that fight is tainted?
You have to go into it. He had an illegal substance in his body. There's a lot of rumors going around that their first fight will be changed to a no contest, and Lamont Peterson will be stripped of both of his titles, and they'll both be returned to Amir Khan. A lot of people, we can, you know, Wally will throw it out there on Twitter and Facebook to see, do you think that if his title should be stripped of him, it should be a non-contest? But
I don't think so.
I do. I think it should be stripped.
I don't think
because
so.
Because he had it knocked out.
He didn't get knocked
out.
No,
he had an illegal substance in his body.
Khan's a bigotry, you know what.
Nah, he had an illegal substance
in
his
no
body.
I have no problem. Hey, Lamont, I believe you. I'm with you. DC all the way. That dude disrespected DC, so he deserved what he got.
Nah,
he deserved what he
you
got.
You have to understand that because boxing's such a brutal sport, and if you come in with a illegal substance in your body like testosterone, a higher level of testosterone, that could have potentially ended Amir Khan's career.
It's okay. I'm for it. Next time I come to the city and disrespect the city again. I hope they let allow him to get a rematch. So I mean, that's good.
I don't think at this point he'll get a rematch. To be honest with you, I don't think Lamont Peterson will be fighting anymore in Vegas. I don't think Lamont Peterson
he'll be banned in Vegas. You think?
I don't think he'll be banned in Vegas, but I think just because of how this played out,
mm-hmm.
a week before the fight, you having to cancel the fight, already knowing that you failed one test back in April, back when this could all have been averted, when you could have just told them, hey, I failed the test, let's kind of push it back a little bit. But waiting until the week of, I think he's done fighting any big fights in Vegas. He's done on HBO, unless he goes on a massive winning streak and pulls a lot of upsets.
Real quick, Marquez, I've heard little talks that he might fight Marquez next.
The 14th in July? It'll be an interesting fight, but I really don't see him fighting Mark. Well, it depends. I don't think he'll be sanctioned in Vegas.
Yeah, okay.
Because of
But you heard that, though, right?
Yeah, I've heard that. And also, Marquez is supposed to fight in Texas at Texas Stadium, so that could be possible. There's also talk that Marquez is going to fight Brandon Rios, which I really hope doesn't happen.
Well, let's go down to the big fight which happened last. Happened last week. Fight that, you know, I didn't get to 10 live, but I was around Vegas doing my thing. We talked about me being in Vegas. But Mayweather beat Cotto. Great fight. I was very entertained by it. Your thoughts on the fight, Will?
Exciting fight. One of the better fights from an entertainer standpoint that Mayweather's been in for a long time.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying that Mayweather's lost a step. No, he hasn't lost a step. It's just that Miguel Cotto was extremely effective coming forward. And also Miguel Cotto, usually what happens is someone will throw the punch, will initiate throwing a punch, then Mayweather counter with his speed and his power, you're getting plucked off ever so often, so then guys become gun shy. That wasn't the case with Miguel Cotto. Miguel Cotto used angles, came in, made the fight a little rougher than a Mayweather fight usually is, and very entertaining.
Yeah, what I want to say is that for folks out there who don't think Cotto is a Hall of Fame boxer, watch the tape. Tape don't lie. That man trained well. You hear people, they talk about like, we trained well, we had a good camp. His camp really trained him well. Like, I really mean, he really trained him well.
Yeah.
To go back, if you've watched Miguel Cotto over the last couple of fights, you've seen Cotto go pretty much stay outside, go, you know, try to show that he can box. This guy trained hard. He had a plan, and he didn't defer from the plan. You know what I mean? Even when Mayweather might have had some type of advantage, started tagging him a little bit, he didn't go far from the plan. He still kept it inside and still decided to rough him up. I was a big fan of what Cotto did. I was very impressed with him even in a loss. You know, because I didn't expect him to win the fight.
Yeah, no one really expected him to win the fight. He was just impressive overall. I do think there are, in my opinion, there are plenty of big fights left for Cotto.
Yeah.
Sergio Martinez.
There we go.
Canelo. Saul Alvarez. Then you have Chavez Jr., Edison Lara. So there are a lot of big fights left for Cotto. Cotto was by no means done, which a lot of people were starting to say, oh, he's done. He's lost a step. No, he isn't.
No. And,
he just came against better opposition Saturday night.
Yeah, that's all it is. Let's go to you talking about Mayweather. You think this is Mayweather's toughest fight in his career?
No. Okay. No, no, okay. No. This hasn't, by far, this hasn't been
so
his toughest
rank?
Fight.
What do you rank?
Of his toughest fights, I say probably number four. I think both of the fights with Luis Castillo, were two of his two toughest fights.
Because some people actually had him losing Castillo.
Yeah. Then I'll go. Was Angel? I forgot the guy. Angel Hernandez. I think that's Angel Hernandez's name. That's probably number three. Number four, a lot of people aren't going to agree with this, but
I thought you said Cotto was four.
I said Cotto's top five.
Okay.
And I'll say only because he let up on the. Well, no, I have to say that. Yeah, this fight was tougher for him than the De La Hoya fight.
Yeah.
Initially, the first three rounds, De La Hoya came out with a good plan, wasn't gun shy, but then he just got. He just wouldn't throw towards the end of the fight.
He really would. Yeah, I agree with you. Let's move on. You talked about that. Let's move on to Canelo Alvarez. We already know Mayweather's going to be locked up, so we don't want to talk about that. There's nothing really on his horizon till Pacquiao. Canelo Alvarez is destroyed Sugar Shane Mosley. And I mean destroyed.
Yeah, that first round.
He killed that man.
Yeah, the first round you actually thought that Shane Mosley was going to make it a contest, make it a fight. You were like, okay, maybe Shane does have some pop left in him. But after the first round, no.
I felt like Shane was Apollo Creed and like Alvarez was the Russian. And that man was about to kill him. And he was about to fall like with the American flag. Down goes Mosley.
Yeah, Mosley, he definitely needs to give it up at this point. He has nothing left.
But what I will say about Mosley is he's a tough son of a gun, and he has a tough chin. Because those bombs, to not fall, he gets a lot of credit from me. Because Canelo was not easing up.
No, by far, no, he wasn't. He had his foot on the gas the whole time. Yeah. He was going for the knockout. Shane Mosley, he's a warrior. He's one of the all-time greats. And just at this point, I would hate to see him reduced to a stepping stone for younger fighters to get his name on their resume and work their way up. There's already some talk of Devin Alexander wants to challenge Shane Mosley at 147.
Wow.
No, I think Shane just needs to hang it up at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. He should retire. Let's move on to Canelo. You think he's ready for the big time now after seeing this fight?
Still don't think he's ready for the big time. I think he's a very aggressive and savage body puncher. He has to use the jab a little bit more. Be able to throw more combinations off of the jab. He does definitely have drawing power.
Oh, yeah.
At the gate. There's a possibility. There's a big void among Latino Americans looking for that next star, that next big huge crossover star. They haven't had one since.
Oscar.
Even since Oscar, to be honest. Marquez is a star in Mexico, but he's not necessarily a huge draw in the States. Alvarez definitely has the personality, and he has the look, and he has the ability to be that next big star, next big Latino boxing star.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I think Alvarez is I actually think Alvarez is ready for the big time. Depending on which we're talking about big time, though, it's a different question. I would love to see him fight Sergio. I'm not a big fan of Sergio. I would love to see him fight Sergio Martinez.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen. I don't think that would happen. Actually, Alvarez is supposed to come back, I believe it's September 15th. He's headlining a pay-per-view out in Vegas. So there still hasn't been an announcement on the opponent yet. But
you think it's going to be Chavez Jr.?
Nah.
Yeah, that man's going to kill. Anyway, we talked about Sugar Shane retiring, but I'll tell you a team that didn't retire, the Denver Nuggets. They didn't retire against the Lakers last night. When we get back, we'll talk about that series and much more after the break. Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
On Eyes Radio. You dig?
Deuces.
You can now hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Download it. It's free. Takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand. No syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to enter promo code Eyes Radio when you register.
Welcome back. You can also listen to our show by visiting www.waleo.podbean.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is hosted by Doc Hancock and West Coast Steeler Fan.
So far, great show. Awesome show. Real quick, you see the Avengers yet?
Have I seen it?
You saw it? I haven't seen it yet. I've been trying to see
not
it.
Not only did I see it, I saw it in IMAX 3D.
Oh, how was it?
You have to see it in IMAX
3D.
Okay,
everybody says the movie was like probably one of the best movies of the year. Is it that
yeah,
good?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very good movie.
It is?
I know it's not going to be, it won't definitely isn't going to beat Batman 3.
Oh, Dark Knight Rises. Everybody's talking about that one. All right, well, let me get back to the Lakers, man. Last night, Nuggets killed the Lakers in Game 6. Your thoughts? What are your thoughts of the game and the series, and also our local baller Ty Lawson doing his thing last night?
I never thought this series would go 7 games.
You didn't think so?
No, I didn't. There were a lot of people, the conspiracy theorists, who said that the Lakers would go 7 so they can get Meta World Peace back, so he'll be back for all 7 games of the next series.
Oh, sweet. I never thought about that.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are saying
that. Wow. Okay.
But yeah, it's just they got beat from lack of effort. Kobe's out there, you know, he's out there with basically a stomach flu. He put it all on the line. He put it all out there. Pau Gasol, a guy who's an all-star, had 3 points and 3 rebounds.
So,
Andrew Bynum. I'll tell you this, if Andrew Bynum is going to be your second best player, which he is, you're going to be in a lot of trouble if you're the Lakers, just because he, from a mental standpoint, he isn't ready and he's immature. He's just mentally inconsistent and not focused.
I mean, real. Unfortunately, the kid is just too immature. I like Andrew Bynum, love his game. Definitely the second best center in the game. But Andrew Bynum.
That's not saying a lot.
Yeah, I know. But Andrew Bynum needs to really man up and be. He really needs to man up and be a little bit more professional. All right. Not when it's your team is huddling in during the break and you're away from the team, watching Coach Brown break down everything to his team, and you're sitting away from your teammates. What's the problem?
I don't know if these guys still have a hangover from Phil Jackson, but Mike Brown is a very good defensive coach offensively.
Yeah.
He's his sets leave a little bit to be wanted.
Yeah, he's not good offensively.
Yeah,
he's not bad, but he's not good.
Yeah, but he's a pretty good coach in my book. Why Bynum just seems to not respect him, even though he's made you into an all-star. He's initiated the offense through you, given a chance. He's essentially made you the centerpiece of the offense. The offense starts and runs through you. Is baffling to me, but I do expect the Lakers to pull it out Game 7. They'll have Meta World Peace, and everybody will get the series that they really wanted, which is Lakers versus OKC. That'll be a hard-fought series.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to one of your initial statements. You were talking about Kobe's stomach virus. I call it the stomach BS virus. I know a sick dude when I see one, and that dude was not sick. It's good acting, though. I mean, he is in L.A. He's in La La. He's in La La Land. I hate Jordan. I'm be real with y'all. Oh, yeah. Breaking news, LeBron James got the MVP. That's why LeBron James won the best already, you know, is already going to be better than Kobe. Think about it. How many MVPs does LeBron have? But anyway, I'm going away from the topic. I dislike Jordan. You know it, Will. I can't stand
dislike him. Is an understatement.
Okay, I hate Jordan. All right, let's be real. I hate him. I hate his guts. I think Magic Johnson's the greatest player who ever lived. That's my opinion.
Thank you. Being honest. That's my opinion. Doesn't that make you feel better being honest? All right,
it feels real good. All right, Michael Jordan, screw you. Magic Johnson's the best. It's like Biggie Tupac. I can't like both. All right. Now that being said, Jordan in the finals against Utah, that was sick. All right, even though back then when I was younger, I used to say like he was faking too, but that was sick. Dude needed IV. Dude was dying. All right, he was dying on the court. Like real talk, dude was dying on the court. Kobe was not dying on the court. I don't want to see his face acting like he was dying when he was sitting down. Like Jordan was dying on the court. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear it. Don't compare it. Don't try to bring those two together. Jordan's accomplishment was better. I'm gonna be real. All right, it's not.
You won't hear any arguments from me.
And look, for me to even say that hurts me.
It was in the finals, so yeah. you definitely won't hear.
Forget the finals. It doesn't even equate. Like, look at it. I see it on TV. Look at him. He's trying to fake like he looks sick. He's faking. He's a faker. I can't stand fakers. Be real, Will. Tell him to be real. Keep it real. All right, I'm done. I'm done with that, Will.
You got your rant out of the way.
I got out of the way. But you talked about Ron Artest coming back. What do you think? Ron is back. We'll be back in Game 7. You think he'll be? Do you think this has even gotten this far because he wasn't in the game? Because he hasn't played in the series?
To be honest with you, I don't think it necessarily has. Because I'll say just because he brings a certain attitude to the Lakers.
Mean streak.
Yeah, he brings a mean streak. He brings a certain level of aggression. He makes the guys who play with him feel more comfortable. They know that there's an enforcer, someone who has their back.
So you think Game 7, he's going to be a difference? He's going to be a difference maker?
I think his presence on the court will be a difference maker. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say his play will be that big of a difference maker, but I think his presence on the court for the Lakers will be a difference maker. I saw your look.
I can't stand Kobe. In my opinion, I don't even think him playing Game 7 is fair. I think he should have missed the whole first round. The NBA kind of laxed off on this one, and I think they should have waited a little longer and seeing his reaction to the whole situation, how it blown out. He wasn't sorry. Ron Artest wasn't sorry for elbowing James Harden. He gave you a good little lie. But it wasn't the truth. The dude was not sorry. Like
He did it intentionally. He didn't care.
He doesn't care. And now he's going to get to play. But he gets to play. And David Stern, I think you dropped the ball on that one. But your thoughts, you think he deserves to play in this Game 7?
No, absolutely not. I think he should have been suspended for 15 games during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Bare minimum, just because of the I'm sorry to break from the conversation, but Stephen A. Smith's hairline.
I knew it was coming.
Jesus Christ. But, 15 games minimum for what he did. He intentionally elbowed James Harden right behind the ear. You know, he could have broke his jaw, could have gave him a very bad concussion. Who knows how, you know, what could have happened to him. If James Harden hadn't braced himself when he hit the floor, he could have cracked his head on the floor. So 15 games should have been the minimum for his penalty. But he's back now. No use of us preaching to the Raptors about David Stern doing a bad job.
Yeah, but let me, like I said earlier, I wanted to mention and give a shout-out to Ty Lawson, local product out here, PG County, in the Maryland, in Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Ty Lawson got his man. He got busy in game six. He couldn't miss. If he can play like that, like he was back in North Carolina, he can make Game 7 very interesting.
The Lakers got beat in Game 6 just simply off of effort.
Yeah.
So if Ty Lawson is able to push the ball, push the tempo, JaVale McGee, Kenneth, Fareed, guys hustle and get up and down the floor, totally different game.
Kenneth Fareed needs credit, man. I liked the story last year when he was in the tournament. His mom wasn't doing too well. That kid shows a lot of heart. Actually, he's one of my favorite players in the NBA just because of what I've learned about him last year during college. But like I said, Ty Lawson, big ups to you, man. Keep representing the DMV up in the playoffs. Let's move on. Knicks. Oh, yeah, do you have any predictions? You have the Lakers winning game 7, though, right?
Lakers winning game 7. All right, 7. Same here. Big. I have them winning it big.
I have Lakers winning game 7, close game, probably by 5. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers lose, to be totally honest with you. Anyway, let's move on to the Knicks. Knicks were defeated by the Heat in the series. I believe it was 4-1. 4-1 series, wasn't it 4-1? Will?
Yeah, okay. It was 4-1. It was 4-1. Why are you asking me
I'm
twice?
You're the Knicks fan. I'm just making sure. You know, I don't like to, you know, like, I don't like to be wrong. I just want to make sure I'm correct. That's all. All right. You're a Knicks fan. So I'm asking you. I'm framing this question just directly towards you. You see Amari Stoudemire, right? He hurt his own hand, but he didn't want to disappoint the team, and he decided to still play, right?
Correct.
He basically played with one hand.
Correct.
All right. Now, you see Jeremy Lin, who only had, I think it was a meniscus tear, which no one thought he'd be out for that long.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides not to play.
Yeah.
And I believe he's 85%. You see, and you see somebody like Amari busting his ass to try to play.
I see where you're going with the question.
I'm just saying. And no, then you see, other players playing with – Paul Pierce is playing with a sprained meniscus.
But a sprain and a tear meniscus are two different things.
But you know what? A meniscus tear is only 2 weeks. It's only a two-week injury, to be totally honest with you.
Well, you know.
I'm sorry. It's a month. I'm sorry. I'll tell you back. It's a month. It's a month injury.
Jeremy Lin, you know, I would rather, if he wasn't going to be 100%, I would rather not have him at all. Him being 85%, he already isn't the slightest of foot. So, you know, with Dwayne Wade and all of those guys who already have much better speed than him, he's not considered that great of a defensive stopper either. So I'd rather him be ready and be totally healthy to come back into the season.
I'm going to tell you, Stephen A. Smith wanted to be nice about it. I'm going to tell you like it is. I heard him talking. He basically wanted to say it, but he didn't want to be out of the cup because he's a respected journalist. That fool was playing against the Miami Heat, and Miami Heat embarrassed him. So I don't think he wanted to see the Heat. That dude wanted to make sure his brand is taken care of. So if he gets hurt, if he comes back at 85% and, you know, isn't the same Jeremy Lin after the surgery or delays him a little bit or may mess up his play for the first couple of weeks of the season next season, it messes up his brand. It messes up his contract and his money a little bit. So he wasn't about the team like he's been preaching during the season. He's more about the brand, Jeremy.
I'm not going to go that far.
I'm just saying, he was like, what's my man's name? What's my man Jamie Foxx's name? Willie Beeman.
He's
like Willie Beeman.
Nah, you can't put him and Willie Beeman in the same
about
category.
Linsanity, baby. Linsanity. It's trademarked. It's him. He's Linsanity now.
No, you can't go that far. I won't allow you. I can't allow you to go that far.
I'm just saying.
I'm hearing you out, but
I'm just
saying,
like, he thinks, like, he's all about the brand. He's about Jeremy Lin. He's driving in the Asian population now in the NBA. He is Mr. Jordan for the Asian population. He's Yao Ming. He's what Yao used to be. But the difference between him and Yao, though, if Yao was hurt, Yao had honor. Yao still be on the court doing his thing, though.
I'm being real.
The kid from Palo Alto. Yeah, he's like, show me the money. I'm Linsanity right now. I know, Amari, I see you out there, but you kind of stupid, though. I ain't going to do that. That ain't me, though, homie.
Nah, his game, he plays the point guard, so his game is dictated on lateral movement. If he had problems cutting and moving side to side.
Really, we're talking about a MCL tear, Will. A meniscus tear. We're not talking about an ACL tear.
This is a guy who's worked too hard to come to this point.
Okay.
And who has been about the team.
My question.
His play has been all about the team. Let me finish.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
So I don't doubt Jeremy Lin not wanting to come back and play for the playoffs.
All right. My question. If Jeremy Lin didn't reach Linsanity level, right, but was still an integral figure on the team, right?
Right.
Say he didn't reach Linsanity, like how high it is now, and he's 85%. Do you think that Jeremy Lin comes back if he's not even Linsanity yet? If he's not that popular, say he's still a role player, but he still has a role on the team, a bench player, but he still gets to play. Do you think that player comes back at 85%?
Probably not.
You don't think so? Are you sugar honey ice teeing me?
No, I don't. I think the trainers probably tell him.
No. It's all on him. The trainers already said they wanted him to play. People wanted him to play. This is his decision. This ain't the trainer staff. This is Jerry Wheeler's decision.
I think he made the right decision.
All I'm saying, answer to you. You're telling me if he was a role player.
He is a role
player. No. He's a starter. He's a starter on the Knicks now.
He's a starter.
If he didn't reach Lin's sanity level, I'm talking about off the bench, 85%. But his team needed him. They needed him. Do you think he would come back? You trying to tell me no? Because when you're on the bench and you need that role, you hungry.
Yeah, he's still hungry.
You think he's hungry?
Yeah, he doesn't have 85%.
Are you 85%? Like Ray said, he missed 85%.
Ray ain't no 85%.
If you 85%, you got to you out there. Like Kobe, I can't stand this dude, this lying stick dude. But do 85%, dude on the court.
There might be some legitimacy to your argument.
I'm just saying.
But you know, at the end of the day, he didn't play. I really don't think Jeremy Lin's presence would have changed much this series for the Knicks.
It wouldn't have,
but, you know.
I'm just saying, though, 85% is a nice percentage. do you think the Knicks should keep Woodson, or maybe they should go after a big coach, Phil Jackson? What do you think?
Of course you got to make that call to Phil Jackson to see if he's interested in coming back and coaching the Knicks. You'd be a fool not to, but ultimately I think that Mike Woodson has deserved the right to come back and be the head coach and have a full year. He went 18-6 down the stretch. Defensively, the team definitely played better. And what role that Jeremy Lin will have in the offense the way it's currently constituted, I think he'll definitely have a reduced role. But if anyone you have to get rid of, I just don't see how it's going to work with Amari and Carmelo.
It's not really Amari and Carmelo. It's not. It's really Amari and Tyson Chandler, to be real with you.
Yeah, I mean, Tyson, to me, because Tyson Chandler, he's the defensive player of the year. He definitely he brings more value to your team. He makes you a better team defensively. The stats don't lie. Amari Stoudemire is a 20-10 guy, but he just isn't meshing in with Melo and Tyson Chandler.
It's not Melo. I mean, I think everyone thinks it's Melo and Amari. It's not really Melo and Amari. The problem is Tyson Chandler needs to be in the middle. He needs to clog the middle. That's his game. You know, lobs and everything. He needs to be around the basket. Amari needs to be – Amari is more versatile when he can do both, be around the basket and pick and pop. So you're taking one element away from Amari, so now he can't do what he does best because you need Tyson Chandler there to clog the lane. Because that's what he is. He's good around the basket, rebounding, getting putbacks and stuff like that. So that it's hard for Amari to be around and score buckets that way like he's accustomed to doing. So really that's the issue. Melo's going to do whatever. And he would always do whatever. It don't matter. Once they traded for Melo, I think Amari got the hint. He asked for it, so he knew. You know what I mean? Once you trade for Melo, you knew what you're getting yourself into. But I do agree with you that there is a change that needs to be made. Chandler is more valuable because he's a great defensive player. Even though he got LeBron James award, which LeBron should have been the defensive MVP. But I like what you're saying though. I think Amari should be traded. I don't know for what. Maybe a point guard. Steve Nash is out there. He'll be a free agent. I think that's a good free agent pickup if they wanted a point guard. Because Jeremy Lin isn't that good. Oh, did I say Jeremy Lin isn't that good?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, Jeremy Lin isn't that good. He's really not that good.
All right, man. But tonight's game, Grizzlies and Clippers. Do you think the Grizzlies can pull it out?
Yeah, you know what? Because to me, the Grizzlies already swept the Clippers. They just been like choking on every other game. So yeah, I think the Grizzlies will play well. I think they'll win the game. But the way I think they'll do it is that I think they'll give the ball down low to Z-Bo some more. I've been impressed with Rudy Gay down the stretch in the fourth quarter. I think he's been clutch in the fourth, but it's time for Rudy Gay and Z-Bo to do it together. If they can do it together. I see them taking it to Memphis. If it gets to Memphis, series is over.
That's interesting. You say that. I do think that Memphis has a good opportunity tonight to close it out.
Clippers have a good opportunity to close it out.
Excuse me, yeah, the Clippers have a good opportunity tonight to close it out. But I do think that Memphis is a little bit too deep, too strong for this team, especially with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, their ailments that they have. I think the Clippers do pull it out tonight.
And close it out?
Close it out. And this will be the end we see in Memphis this year.
If the Clippers pull it out, it'll be because of CP3. I think CP3 has had a great series, man. And this is why I think he's the best point guard in the game. You know, this team, the Clippers, is a lottery team without CP3. And now they're a fifth seed with them and having a chance to knock off a game Memphis squad. This CP3, to me, that's why, like I said, he's the best point guard in the game. I don't see any point guard better. Rondo's playing at a high level in Boston right now, but CP3 makes everybody better. He makes the team better. Prime example, Rondo misses a game against Atlanta. Boston still wins. CP3, could you see him missing a game against Memphis and them still winning?
Absolutely not.
You know, so, like, the dude is the best pure point guard. I know people try to say, like, Rondo's the best pure point guard. No, CP3 is the best point guard.
He's definitely the best pure point guard.
He does it all, you know. It's the problem with CP3. He's so skilled offensively, and he's just a skilled passer. He's just that good. You know, and CP3 is that good. You have anything you want to add to CP3?
No, like I believe last year I had an argument with Ray. Ray said that Derrick Rose is the best point guard.
Well,
the argument,
yeah, the argument with that is, though, the problem with that is it's two different categories. You know what I mean? Like, it's the Shaq. It's like Derrick Rose is the Shaq of point guards.
He's physically imposing.
Yeah,
yes,
it's like he dominates. He's that good. He dominates, but he's not a better point guard than Chris Paul.
Absolutely not. But, and that's the point I was trying to make last year. To me, a point guard is a guy who makes everyone on the team better.
Yeah.
He's a guy who the offense starts with, the guy who's the coach on the field. Mm. Derrick Rose, don't get me wrong, he's a phenomenal player.
And he does make the team better.
He doesn't make the players around him better.
That's interesting. See, Derrick Rose is a winner. And he does play good team ball. It's different. I don't know how to explain it. He's not a selfish ball player. So as a point guard, he's not to the level of Chris Paul in terms of getting players involved.
Yeah.
But he does. I mean, he doesn't heist. I don't want to say like he heists. He does what he has to do on that team. He does what he has to do. If you watch Derrick Rose since Memphis, even in Memphis in college, he got everybody involved. So he can do that. But on this team, he has to be more aggressive. I just like it's like Olajuwon, Shaq. Shaq is the most dominating center, but Olajuwon's a better center.
I agree with you.
So, like, to me, like, Derrick Rose is a dominating point guard, but Paul is the best point guard. That's all. I agree. And that's the thing. When people compare the two, they're two different kind of point guards. It's hard to compare the two.
All right. Well, from dominating point guards, we're going to go to the Wizards' former dominating center. You know who I'm talking about, baby.
Can't do right.
Mr. Do Right.
No, Mr. Can't do right.
In the series, he's been playing well. He's been playing well against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Nick Young has definitely been playing.
He's the reason why the Clippers won that first game, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
Why couldn't we get that type of play from these two knuckleheads when they went D.C.?
Because they were I can't say for Nick Young because he's in L.A. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, D.C. Why?
There's a bigger distraction with him being from L.A.
Yeah. So I don't know about Nick Young, but JaVale McGee, it's plain and simple, man. Hey, one thing he was amongst a young team. I think I heard this on TNT the other day with Barkley and everybody on the cast, and I totally agree with him. He was with a young team, and George Karl wasn't in D.C. George Karl is a coach that demands respect. It is what it is. He really demands respect. He's a Hall of Fame caliber coach, and JaVale McGee's going to listen to that. And when you're amongst veterans, they're not going to tolerate that dumbass, you know, knucklehead type of play. Like,
are we cursing now?
Ass ain't a curse word, is it? Is it really? A-double-S?
I'm just asking.
Like some, yeah, you know, the other words are a curse
word.
Yeah,
because you know, I just want you to know and be cognizant of what you're doing.
I know we ain't
because you hit the dump button every time I decide to curse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got extreme curse words. But yeah, so I don't think like that's the main reason. Like JaVale McGee is now with veterans and George Karl, And in Washington, there was a bunch of dumb ball players. So you, if you're going to be, if you're in Rome, you're going to do what the Romans do. You know what I mean? So that's why it happened.
Yeah, well, to me, it's crazy. JaVale McGee, and I guess it all starts with the culture that was around this team that's in D.C., the Washington Wizards. You have to change the culture first because you see there was the type of culture where this was allowed here. These guys go to off the different teams. The Clippers are relative. They have veterans. Denver is primarily a young team, but they have a strong head coach.
Yeah.
Who's no nonsense and he's very well respected. So that just lets me know that the Wizards need to bring in a guy as their head coach that has a strong personality that's going to command respect.
But that's the thing. That's what Randy Whitman is actually doing. Like if you watch what Randy Whitman is doing, he is a strong personality.
But he doesn't command. I'll say he commands respect, but he doesn't have the pedigree or the resume to demand that respect.
That's true. But it's about that time. I think we dove into that long enough. We're going hard in the paint.
Drop the music. Flocka!
Yeah, last week I chose... Damn it, I forgot what I chose. It was a really good one, too. I'm sure.
It couldn't have been that good if you didn't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. No, it was. Nah, it really wasn't. I want to say Conley Jr., but it wasn't Conley Jr. All right, you know what? I'll go back to it later.
Pass is the pass.
Pass. We in the present. But it's game seven. It's game six out here. It's a much-needed game. Memphis versus the Clippers. I'm going to go with my boy, Rudy Gay. I think Rudy Gay's going to pull this one out. He's going to go hard in the paint. Rudy Gay's going to be clutch. He's going to lead this team to a game seven. And Rudy Gay's going to go hard in the paint. Also, big ups, like I said earlier, LeBron MVP. That's what we do. Let them Kobe fans know. That's three MVPs right now already. That's what we do. Hairlines removed to the back. Let's go.
Wow, you crazy. I'm going to go with a veteran, a guy who just last night showed everyone that he still has, and that guy's Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett's coming off of a game for the ages. He had 28 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks last night to close out the Atlanta Hawks. Part of it's due because of the Atlanta Hawks owner calling him a dirty player and saying he's too old, but I do think Kevin Garnett shows up big in this series because he has Elton Brand guarding him for the whole series, and he's going to torch Elton Brand. Elton Brand struggles against guys who are longer and more athletic.
Yeah, and also on the side, not side note, but also on the low, a dude's getting his man Andre Miller, another oldie but surely balling dude out there. Andre Miller doing it big. But time for a break. Question, Will. Do the Nats need to trade a pitcher for some offense?
I'll let you know when we come back from commercial break.
Urban Sports Team, Eyes Radio.
For ages.
You dig?
The Eyes Radio Network is one of the fastest growing sports networks in the Washington, D.C. area, with great shows like Chris and the Commish, The Voice of the Fan, and the Urban Sports Scene, plus media and athlete interviews and other content. You will get all the great sports coverage for the DMV and whatever's happening around the nation. Eyes Radio is built on listening on your time, whether it's listening to one of our shows live, downloading from iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app, or just on the website. We make it easy for you to listen to us when you want. Always let people know that you're listening to your favorite show on www.eyesradio.com. That's www.eyesradio.com. And follow us on Twitter at Eyes Radio.
Bulldog, my pet. I point it at you and tell it, bitch. I'm f***ing the good, she got her legs on my neck. I can f*** him out there. Call that triple threat.
We're back from commercial break. I know you probably missed us, but if in case you didn't miss us and you need more of the Urban Sports Scene, you can check us out Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Apple G's Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach Rodney and the lovely Vivian.
I said the lovely Vivian like a couple weeks ago. It was last week. And a raid came at me. It was like, dude, she married. I was like, we always say it. She is lovely. You know, no white hitting on her. I know she married the coach. I ain't trying to say, like, I want the lovely Vivian.
Yeah,
I'm saying,
nah,
like,
she's a lovely lady.
Yeah, and they big ups, they trying to come down to the area. I know I've been saying it for a while. They trying to come back down to the area. Howard University, I want to stay in June or May.
Okay, just let
June,
me know,
June,
man.
June or July or August, something like that. I think they're trying to get one of their kids down here in Howard.
Oh, that'd be what's up.
Yeah, so big ups to Apple G's family. We love them out there. You know, they're our peoples, for real.
Our cousins in Texas.
Our cousins in Texas, exactly. Anyway, man, big win for the Nets. A big win by the Nets, I think, yesterday, right? Yeah. Strasburg played, the big Strauss, that's what I like to call them, ending their losing streak. With all the struggle, and we briefly mentioned it a little bit, in prelude to, with all the struggles, do you think that the Nats should consider trading one of their pitchers for some offense?
I don't think just yet, just because Michael Morris hasn't come back from injury yet. Zimmerman's just coming off the DL. So, you know, you have two guys who potentially in the middle of the lineup can provide you some fireworks on offensively. But I will say this. If the Nats do decide to trade one of their arms, it's probably the guy who they'll get the best value for. It's probably Ross Detweiler. Just because Detweiler doesn't have, I think he's signed for the next 2 years, and I think it's at like $6 million, which for a guy who's pitching the way he's pitching this year would be a bargain. You possibly can get you another bat in the middle of the lineup, but I don't think that the Nats want to trade any of their arms because this team is, the way they're building this team is this team is going to be constructed on very good pitching. And guys in the 3, 4, and 5 spot that are going to give you offensive production. And I think that they do have with Morris coming back, Zimmer, and also Zimmerman's back. And then you also have the phenom, Bryce Harper. That's your 3, 4, and 5 right there.
No, I'm with you. Do I think they need to trade? No, I think they need to trade. Their offense lacks. I mean, it does lack some substance.
I think overall it's just consistency. They don't have any consistency.
They got players on their team that, in my opinion, they have a lot of potential, but haven't produced. Like for instance, I actually like Espinoza, but to me, he just hasn't reached the level he's supposed to be. I think Ian Desmond has been okay. He's a guy I did worry about for them, but he's been okay. The team, I don't think they need to trade yet, but if we'll see when the trade deadline comes and then where they're at in the race. If they feel like they need an extra bat and Russ Detweiler is there to be traded, he's an option to trade. I'm not the biggest fan of Russ Detweiler. They like him a lot. I don't really think that he's better than the guy they sent to the minors. It'll come to me later. But there was a lefty they sent to the minors. I like him more than I like Detweiler, but they do like him. I believe he has good stuff. But let me not go into that. Actually, there's another topic I wanted to talk to about the Nats. Now, there's word stating that eventually, later in the summer, they'll shut down. Well, I won't say shut down, but they'll limit Strasburg's pitching attempts or whatever. They're gonna limit his arms. Do you think that if they get into a playoff? They're in the pennant race. Should they shut it down?
Absolutely.
You think they should shut down? They're in the pennant
Absolutely.
Race?
Absolutely. I look for the long term. This is short term. You're going for the long term game, not short term wins. Even though this team, it looks for the looks, for 30 days they've been on top of the division. I do think just because Strasburg is coming off of Tommy John surgery, you can look at guys who've had the surgery and who've pitched 200 innings that following year after the surgery, and you, in the long term, those guys haven't been in the best condition. You look at Chris Carpenter last year for the championship Cardinals. You look at a guy who was just as hyped as Strasburg coming out of the draft. That's Kerry Wood. He had Tommy John surgery after, I believe it was his first year. And you see how his career has ended up.
Well, it's totally different. All right. you know what? Tommy John has gotten better. I'll give you another example. You give me good. That's a good example. Kerry Woods is a good example. I think, honestly, to be honest with you, I think Kerry Woods is the reason why people like Strasburg get babied. Kerry Woods and Mark Pryor, to be totally honest with you, both of them are reasons why people like Strasburg get babied. But I'll give you one. Probably you don't even know the name. People might not even know the name unless you're an Orioles fan. Eric Bedard. Eric Bedard took Tommy John surgery when he was pretty much developing. He was in time. He had Tommy John surgery. Took it in his second year. Was when he came back, was a beast. Probably Orioles' best pitcher. Matter of fact, a lot of teams wanted him because he pitched so well. He was just on a terrible team. There are a lot of arms, honestly, to be real with you, have gotten better off Tommy John surgery. Now, the Nationals did it a different way. I think the Nationals did it a better way. When I did it a way I didn't agree with. I thought last year they should sat him out the whole season, but they decided to pitch him a little bit here and there. If they're in a playoff push and Strasburg is feeling no pain, you know what I mean? No pain. This is your ace.
This is your ace.
This isn't your
he's
backup.
He's
this is your ace.
He's possibly the best pitcher in the AL.
I mean NL. NL.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is your ace. If he is pitching well, he needs to play. It's the pennant race. This team is poised. And you never know what's going to happen next year. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know if
you have a very valid point. But the only reason I say you hold him back is he's never pitched this many innings in the big league.
I hear you.
So you don't want to go out there on the limb and you damage him for the long term. And you know, and getting to the playoffs would be huge for the Nationals. It would definitely help energize a fan base that's almost non-existent in this area, because everyone knows that DC, they want a winner. You know, DC hasn't experienced a winner in a long time. It's the truth.
The Nationals, the Capitals win, man. Get out of here. Capitals get the playoffs all the time, man. Get out of here, man.
I'm just telling the truth.
No,
the truth,
man.
The truth hurts some people.
You're trying to be an antagonist. I'm sorry, I'm laughing on that one. No, I think that he needs to pitch if they're independent race. You never know. Baseball is such a complicated game. The Phillies might get back next year because Ryan Howard will be back. This is the prime chance for the Nationals to get into the postseason and do some damage. But, you know, everybody's hyped up. Bryce Harper's in the league. Everybody hyped up. All the Nats fans are hyped up, thinking that Bryce Harper is going to be the next big thing. I think he's a good kid. Has a lot of potential. Right now, he's hitting .263. I don't believe he homered yet, but that's soon to come, I believe. Do you think that what do you think eventually down the road? Not eventually down the road. Where do you think, if you were the manager of the Nats, where would you hit Bryce Harper? I think he's hit all around the world right
now.
Yeah,
I think he's hit 2.5.
He hits five. He's hit
2.57. 2.357.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. For now, I would say definitely hit the guy in the fifth spot.
Okay.
I think his offensive production from the fifth spot has been fairly good, decent, even though he hasn't given you the homers that a lot of people are looking for him for. But the guy, he in that fifth spot, he makes contact. He runs the bases hard. So he's definitely a guy who can get on base for you at this point.
I like him. I like Bryce. I like Bryce at the third spot. I think he'd be good at third spot. I put Zimmerman at the four. Would be dangerous, and have Morse when he gets back at the four, Zimmer at the five. Either or you want to do it. I like Harper at the three spot. He looks like a typical three hitter to me. I think because the third spot usually is your best hitter, mm-hmm. not your power hitter, but your best overall hitter. I like what he brings to the table with his speed and his power. But we've done enough about the Nats. We talked about the Nats a lot. Let's go down.
Score up to 295. Let's go up 295.
Two up in the 295. Sorry, yeah. Go up to 295, and talk about my Baltimore Orioles, who I'm a fan of, not the Nats. I know I'm from the DC area, but I actually like this B-more team, and I don't like the Ravens. But the Orioles just had a rough series with the Texas Rangers. Josh Hamilton got busy. He made history. He had one. He went game at five. I think he went 5-5. Hit four home runs.
Yeah, 18 bases total.
Ooh, man. Oh, I'm glad he left town. I'm so glad he left town.
Yeah.
We should have gave him some alcohol.
He's a free agent this year.
Yeah, we should have gave him some alcohol or something.
Oh, you're terrible.
I like Josh Hamilton. I don't think he's an alcoholic, but, you know, I think we gave him some alcohol.
Everyone has all their own demons.
I don't think he's an alcoholic. I really don't. I think he's clean now. I mean, when I mean he's not an alcoholic, I mean, he did right. He's sobered up. I don't see a problem having a beer. I don't really see the issue unless he doesn't OD on it. He's okay with me. But tonight starts the big series with the Rays. They're both tied for first place in the AL East. Do you think the O's, due to the fact their struggles with the Texas Rangers, are poised for a losing streak?
I'm not going to say I don't think they're poised right now for a losing streak, but I do think that hold on the top spot in the East, in the AL East, AL East,
yeah.
Won't be long term, just because simply the Rays, they have the arms, they have some bats, and you also can't count out my Yankees.
Your Yankees?
Yes, my
Yankees in the series.
It's still early.
Yeah, the Yankees swept us soon to get the first series, so I'm not knocking
it. It's still early. We haven't made our trades yet, our yearly trades.
I don't think you will either. how am I going to answer this question? You know, this is scary. I mean, they have some injuries. Hamill being out hurts. He's been our best pitcher. Luckily, Chen stepped up yesterday and had a big – well, he got the win we needed. That we only received in the series. They did beat us 3-1. I like what the Orioles have to offer. I think they work hard. They're tenacious. They're hardworking. More like the Mets. If you've seen the Mets in the NL, they're a hardworking team. Matter of fact, the Orioles and Tampa game now are tied at 1. Adam Jones just hit a home run.
Friend of the show, Adam Jones.
Hey, friend of the show, Adam Jones, man. Big ups to Adam Jones, which I will be talking about later in this segment because he needs to step up. But the O's, I think, believe, and that's the main thing they believe. I think once they beat the Yankees in that series, I believe they believed in themselves, and then after that, following beating the Yankees, swept the Red Sox. So this team is different. You know, it's a different beast. I think teams are now starting to pay attention to them. Main thing is to get healthy. Need to get Ryan Moe back. Need to get Hamill back. And I think they'll be rocking and rolling. And also need to find a way to solidify the rotation. They called up Evelyn. Not a big fan of Evelyn, or Evelyn, whatever how you say his name. I think it's Evelyn. Excuse me, Evelyn. I would have called up Chris Tillman. I'm a fan of Chris Tillman, but he has to produce in the minors. So, the Orioles have an opportunity to do some special things. Buck Showalter has managed this team correctly. I still think he's stubborn, but he's done a decent job. But let's move on. For the Orioles to win this series, who needs to step up? Against the Rays, do you know? Probably not. Just say Adam Jones.
Adam Jones, of course. That's who I was just saying.
Yeah, just say Adam Jones, man.
Adam Jones. Adam Jones needs to step up. He needs to show more of a consistent offensive threat.
Man, that is such a generic answer. Adam Jones has had a decent season, man. Adam Jones hit his 10th home run, so he's hitting 10 home runs this season. Having a good season. He's hitting over close to 300. So he's been as consistent as he could be. I know, man. I just wanted to make sure you knew that he's been consistent.
Just make sure the listeners know.
Oh, this is no. Will knew that. All right. He knew that Adam Jones is hitting 300 and he has 10 home runs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Stat chunky.
But he does need to step up. What I mean that why he needs to step up is Adam Jones his situational hitting has to be better. You know what I mean? And I have no problem telling Adam Jones on Twitter that. Because, you know, he's cool with us, man.
He's a homie.
But, yeah, he's a homie. He really is one of the homies. But he needs to hit better in scoring position. And that's something he already knows. I think Jake Arrieta needs to step up when he gets his time to pitch. Jake needs to attack the zone, trust his stuff. His stuff is too good for him to be nibbling. You know, just attack the zone, and he'll be okay. Brian Mattis needs to step up. His turn will be coming. I think he'll be starting on Saturday. He's going to need to step up for him to win this series and go back to the form he had against the Yankees. And even before that, he started getting into a rhythm. This O's team has potential, man. It really does do some damage. The hitters are hitting well. Reynolds is starting to hit some home runs, which is needed, and strikeout, of course, because that's what he does. And we're getting Matt Wieters, who's playing at an all-star level, probably the best catcher in the AL right now. So the Orioles are doing big things out there. The Orioles are doing big things out there in the AL East. Harder division than the Nationals division at the NL East. You can't compare the AL East to the NL East.
No, you can't.
You know what I mean? That's how I was trying to tell Ray. You know, he's always trying to bring up the Nationals when I'm talking about the Orioles. I'm like, you can't compare the divisions. The AL East is a beast. You know what I mean? You got to see the Yankees, the Rays, and the Red Sox. You can't beat that, man. And the Blue Jays ain't no slouch either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's about time to wrap up the show. But let me give you some of our information. You can all check us out on Eyes Radio, on the Eyes Radio Network. That's www.eyesradio.com. You can also listen to the show on our official website just by visiting www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. And like I said earlier in the beginning of the show, we're also on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. And you can get our stuff at www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. And real quick before we end the show off, after our show last week, one of the best NFL players that I've ever seen play, especially the middle linebacker position, Junior Seau, decided to take his life. I don't want to remember him that way. I want to remember him as a guy that I saw play while he was in San Diego, not with the Patriots, but while in San Diego. He was Ray Lewis before there was a Ray Lewis. He was probably, to me, a guy that was from sideline to sideline, put crushing hits on people, and a guy by watching playing a middle linebacker position. And, you know, we all as fans like offense. And as a guy who plays defense and playing a middle linebacker position, got you excited as if you was watching Barry Sanders or watching Randy Moss catch a long touchdown pass or whoever excited you back then watching football. That guy, to me, at the time, I have never seen a better linebacker. And to me, middle linebacker, and to me, is just as good as Ray Lewis. He's one of the best middle linebackers I've ever seen in my life. And RIP to you, Junior Seau.
I love and wishes go out to his family, his children.
And his mom.
Actually, today they had the memorial for him at Qualcomm Stadium. So, Junior Seau, you'll definitely be missed. Anyone who's out there who's going through something, just always know tomorrow's a better day. And, you know, there's people out here who love you and people you can talk to about anything you're going through, man.
Yeah, and also I want to say this out, too. This is for the media. For y'all, for some of the media out there, obviously you might not be listening to the show. You probably don't. But when the member is grieving, like a mother, father, and their son, who cares if they're famous or not, leave them alone.
Like, yeah, don't keep put them the on, damn camera out of their face.
Leave them alone.
Let them grieve in peace.
Yeah, let them grieve in peace. Junior Seau's mom was out there, you know, and I almost brought tears to my eyes, man. Like, she was really grieving. I don't need to see that. And she doesn't need to be in front of the camera too for people to see that. And also, and I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming the camera. I'm blaming the networks. And also, like, Junior Seau's dad, you know, leave him alone. He didn't want to talk to you all, and you all kept asking questions. He was grieving. That's my issue. Be a humanitarian. That's all I'm saying. Be a human being. Screw that. Be a human being.
Dickheads.
Exactly.
And on that note, it's been another great show. This is the 104th show, so I guess technically that's 52 weeks. Well, this is...
I don't know.
Yeah. That's 52 weeks is a year. So this is 2 years.
Yeah, man. We've been doing it
2 years worth of shows. You know, thank you for those who've been down from us day one. If you just realizing our talent and you just became a fan of the Urban Sports Scene, you know, we're going to be here for a while. Yeah. You know, we enjoy doing this. And, you know, it's Friday night, about 8 o'clock.
And we doing it.
Yeah. Let's go get drunk.
Yeah. Dedication. Bitches.
Deuces, bitches!